Beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of Everything K-pop with me, Anne. Before we jump into this episode, we have some beautiful people here with us to join with me for this today for today's episode. Hey, you guys.
Hello.
Hi. Why don't you all introduce yourself for the audience?
Okay, so I'll go first. My name is Subiksha. I'm a first-year fashion design student here in Chennai. And I've been listening to K-pop since, I think, 2010. And, like, one of my first songs was, I think, Nobody by Wonder Girls. It was in my, like, suggested video on YouTube. And as soon as I clicked it, I was like, whoa, what is this? And that's how I got intrigued to watch more K-pop. And soon, because I was also into dancing a lot, I also started my own K-pop dance cover page. That took me like another 10 years.
Do check it out, lads. It's Subi covers that Instagram. May I continue?
Yeah. So yeah, it's called Shubi Dance Covers. It's, and they're both on Instagram and on YouTube. You guys can check me out. And yeah, so that's what I do now for K-pop.
Also, she has also won the regional round of
Indian K-pop contest.
Indian K-pop dance contest that is held by the Korean Consulate. Them only. Okay, next.
Oh, hi, hello everyone. I'm Rosh, founder and head of K-Culture Salem Nation Community, a young lady who loves to explore Korean culture and Indo-Korean relationship as well. And I'm currently pursuing my master's in business administration. And I became a K-pop fangirl just since 2019. But I'm into K-drama since school days. So it's not a big story at all. I just started to watch a lot of K-dramas and I'm just into K-pop. That's it.
But you are the person who is heading the Korean Consulate team of Velour.
Regional, yes.
So being into K-pop just in 2019 and doing something big, what motivated you to do that?
Okay, actually from my school days, I loved organizing events, etc. I'm not that techy person. So I loved to be an MC in any events and I love to organize even in college days. So when I came into the K-pop field, I just started to explore what actually K-pop is. And I just came to know about Sanjay Sanganim, who is the head of K-Way Community India. And he inspired me a lot. Like the way he organizes the event, the way he carries away everything. So that made me to start a community in Salem to unite K-pop fans in Salem. So the vision is to make Salem a home to K-pop and K-drama even in future. So that's it.
Yeah, that seems interesting. Like, we should do a one-on-one session later, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
So, okay, today we are going to be discussing about the idol contracts that idols or even other artists or like actors and who else? Everybody who's under a company actually goes through, okay? So, of course, we wouldn't have a contract, right? So, we are not idols, we are just fans.
If only.
Yeah, but I did search and the YouTuber named Sobeanie, she is a former K-pop idol. So, she talks in depth about the contract. So, do check her out if you want to know the in-depth information about the about the K-pop idol backgrounds and how things work. I also came across another YouTuber named Gracie Grace. I know some people know her. Like, Subiksha, you do know her.
Yes.
So, she is also a K-pop artist, a solo artist, I guess, who jotted down in one of her YouTube videos all the rules that has to be followed by the idols of a company or any people who is under a company per se. So today we are going to be discussing on these rules. So shall we start, ladies?
Definitely. Yes.
So do grab some popcorn or snacks or water bottles. Mainly water for us because we are going to be having a long talk. Anyways, but let's jump right into the rules. Rule number one, no dating. Wow. Okay. I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, I guess it's a pretty common rule, not just for idols, but just like celebrities in general in Korea, because they, like, Koreans take it so seriously. Because when they see their idols, they idolize them. They want to, like, meet them one day, get their autograph. And then for them to see that they've fallen in love with someone else, I guess, is such a big no-no for them to see or come across. So companies don't want to take the risk. They don't want to start up any drama that can clash between the idols' works. Which I think this is a pretty valid rule, maybe for the first few years till the idol or the group has, like, established. Like, after they've established, I guess, after like 3-4 years, they should be able to date. Some idols still do, I guess, in secret. But it is sad that they're not able to do it as openly as they can.
I don't understand. You like idol. Why don't you just support, like, they're also human.
Exactly,
humans have needs. We also have needs. Just because nobody is concentrating on your personal life doesn't mean you have to concentrate on one person's life and, like, tell them you have to be like this and all that.
But I guess that's where the perspective of becoming an idol and becoming an artist really shows up. Because if you want to become an artist, you just have to have talent and people can like you or not like you and you can still go out on dates. But if you want to become an idol, you have to please a lot of people to stay an idol.
But I guess this no dating issue has changed for the past couple of years. Even though people date in secret, there are some fans who accept, like, that the idols have dated, and they are pretty supportive of that. It's just some fans who just can't get out of their shell, like, no, my idol has to be. I mean, like, of course, I respect dreams and visions.
Yeah, I guess EXO went through the no dating thing a lot because their fans were so crazy to the point they were like, oh, we're not going to support EXO if they're going to date or get married. And that's exactly what they did. But now they're open.
Yeah,
but now they're open to, I guess, Twice, Momo and Heechul from Super Junior dating. And I guess it's just something that they saw was cute because they've been coming in a lot of shows. So I guess it just depends on a lot of things. Obviously, it also depends on which company they're from. The company needs to allow them to be even talking about any of this in public.
Yeah, you have any comments on that, Roshni?
No, actually, Subisha says that more than entertainment, the Korean fans are trying to take control over K-pop idols' private life, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's why the entertainment are imposing a lot of rules on K-popers so that they can shine without getting into any crucial things.
Like, this girl Gracie, she said that if they are caught dating in the first few years they are debuting,
they are given a lot of severe punishments, like taking their parts or something, like in a song.
You get parts, to the extreme that you can also get fired. Like, that is, like, too harsh to the young people who just debuted.
Okay. I personally think, like, this happens because the entertainments, they are seeing idols more than a human, but as an investment. So I do feel that
at the end of the day, K-pop is a business. So I guess it is good to have certain rules, because if it goes out of control, then the idols, at the end of the day, would have to pay the company for all that training, but won't have any means to
if you get pregnant and all that, it could really affect the company.
Exactly. At the end of the day, this is there, but also the freedom of choice is gone. But I guess it's just for a couple of professional years that they'll have to deal with.
But Dan first and second generation, the third and fourth generation have got a certain restrictions, a bit lenient, I guess. Not that strict.
Sorry guys, my cat just wants to scream all
night. He also wants to talk about K-pop. Everyone wants to talk about K-pop.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, you have your rules. Okay, rule number two. no talking to the opposite sex. I mean, this contradicts rule yes. number one. This is not, I mean, okay, you go on, Roshan.
Yeah, as Subhiksha said, no dating leads to this same. Like, K-pop stars can't hang out with friends of the opposite sex. So, to my point, the fact that K-pop stars can't date may seem strict, but that's not where the situation ends. Like, frankly, K-pop stars aren't even supposed to associate with people who don't share their gender. It's because the entertainment is too concerned that they might get distracted from their career when they get into a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So they are so like, no, we should not go out, we should not talk to them, blah, blah, blah.
Like, even if you are from the same company that you
yeah,
are,
exactly.
You talk to your fellow trainee who is of the opposite sex. I mean, like, okay, I understand your thought, but how is talking to a fellow human being, not considered as sex, opposite sex, gonna interfere in your career? I personally don't think so. Like, this rule is really that necessary? If I mean, they already have a dating ban, then yeah, why do you need this opposite sex ban? If you have a dating ban, it's fine. You can be friends, but don't dating. That is okay. Like, you shouldn't talk to a boy as well. That is too much.
Yeah, but I guess, that's what I'm going. I was saying that the entertainment is just focused on the popularity. Like, they want the popularity from the idol more than their personal concern or their personal feelings or something. Exactly like that.
Yeah. You had anything to say, Subi?
Yeah, so this point, no. I think this rule is there mostly for the fans because they don't want your female idols talking to guy idols. Then they're going to think, oh, they're dating.
Oh,
so
okay.
I think this is just for that kind of controversies to not come up because we've seen so many, like, even if backstage they're seen talking, they're like, oh my god, they're dating. How can this happen?
Oh my god, yeah,
actually, I do agree with Subhiksha. While we are talking about this, I do remember an incident that I read in a previous article. I just want to share that. So, in 2008, during a performance by Girls' Generation, I think so, while the group was on the stage at an annual show, the crowd literally created a black ocean, like referring to wave lights and cell phones, and they stayed silent throughout the band's entire 10-minute performance. It reported that they protested against the Girls' Generation. They were close with Super Junior at that time. So the fans literally don't like that and they were protesting against that. So it does make sense.
Even though they were from the same company.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah. So even though the entertainment gives permission, it's the fans who are making their life so stressful.
See, I didn't know that. This is why I should podcast.
OG K-pop fan info.
No, this article literally was stuck in my mind. I was literally thinking of that. Why? What happened to the Korean fans? Why are they like blah? So I was like,
I guess. Yeah, this concert also coined the word Black Ocean. I guess then you have more black oceans for more bands.
Okay. For people who don't know what Black Ocean is, can some of y'all explain? Any one of y'all?
I think I explained in one word, so I'll just explain again. So it's that usually in a K-pop concert, people used to wave their light sticks or cell phones, showing their support. So Black Ocean is that they refuse waving lights and cell phones, and the entire crowd will stay black. Like, it's like a complete shutdown.
You're performing a dark crowd.
Yes.
Yeah.
So see, the light
called Black Ocean.
Mostly the idols don't see every fan's face, but the only thing that cheers them up through the
it's
the lights.
Light stick. Yeah.
They don't see the lights and like they perform to a black pitch black stadium. That is like the worst nightmare any idol can face. And
sad that SNSD had to like experience this, like, I think a bit after the debut. They were like rookies as well. So this was like a huge hit to their entire career. But still, they became legends, so.
Yeah, that's true.
But I do find Korean fans a bit stressful actually when compared to international fans.
Yeah, they are so into this Korean thing and they were like, no, you have to be as we want you to. and all that. They have picturized that you have to be this perfection that we, that we thought of you.
I personally feel international fans are far better than the Korean fans.
Yeah, I understand. Not all, not all.
I'm not saying everyone, but...
No, that's not what I meant. Like, not only international fans, those who, like, understand, like, they're also fellow people and be supportive of whatever they do. They do, there are some fans like that, but there are some also extreme fans.
But extreme are there, but what happens? The entertainment, everything are going beyond that, the one who talks negative, right? Mm-hmm. They are just ignoring the positive side and they're giving more pressure to the K-pop idols just because of those few negative comments.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what...
But I wouldn't say international fans are any better, because have you seen Taylor Swift's fans? And honestly, when there were shootouts...
No, I didn't mean that international fans are better. I just said that they are a bit understandable.
When you are doing like a comparative, right?
Yes.
Like, the Korean fans, they have their reasons. I guess this is like some sort of morals that is set to
sure.
them, that their idols look like this, look like that.
Yeah, it's more than entertainment. More of a culture for them. So anyway, we're moving on. Rule number three: cell phone checks. Like, your manager management can check your phone anytime you want.
When I read this rule, I was like, this is exactly what my mom did when I was a teenager. So I was like, okay, why did she check my phone when I was a teenager? So, I mean, it's all about keeping their idols in check, making sure they don't get themselves into trouble, which the company can't end up helping in the end. So it's everyone's loss if something happens. So, I mean, if you have something to hide in your phone, it's usually not a big deal. It's just info that you don't want people to see. It's like your personal space. But I guess this is where, like, they just check to see if you're dating someone, or if you're like texting some male idols, or if you're maybe even letting out any company secrets that may end up with severe consequences, right? So frequent cell phone checks could be an okay thing if it's not taken to like an extreme where they're like, oh, you have this picture in your phone, so we're not going to let you use your phone. That would be bad.
We don't know the extent, because
exactly. But I'm not sure if companies do this right now. I remember this happening in second generation K-pop, but I don't think third gen and fourth gen companies have gotten this strict, because I do see idols making mistakes. Like, they post something so they delete it because the company sees it late, or some one fan is like, oh, why did you wear that?
Yeah,
or,
but the interesting stuff is, even though they just let it in by mistake, within a minute, most of the fans would have downloaded it and they started to post on social media.
True, true, exactly.
I think this rule is more applied on the girls than the boys.
Boys, yes.
It's like the general thing. It's like saying that it's like telling girls to cover up, but not telling the guys to watch what they're doing. But it's the same thing. It's like the girls get more hurt in the idol industry, I feel like, more than the guys. So I think it is better to be a bit more stricter for them, for their own safety. Because any pictures get leaked, it can be misused so badly by the fans. And these days, you have so many anti-fans who don't want your group to do well. Mm-hmm. So they'll use anything and everything.
I mean, just as India has too many stereotypes for a woman, Korea has even more stereotypes for a woman. So
especially for idols.
I mean, especially for idols and girl idols. So if you're caught doing something...
Remember that Irene incident where I think she read a book and she posted a picture with a book, but it was some sort of feministic book, and fans were like, how could you be a feminist? And then they started burning her pictures. I thought that was absolutely absurd. What? Like,
I read this article.
Koreans don't like feminists. I was like, okay, great. I'm not even surprised. Then she apologized for advertising such a book, which I bet like her company forced her to do. So It's kind of sad.
And it's not only you. I mean, the person who's getting caught gets the punishment. It's the whole thing. Punishment. Even for one member's mistake. And like, so you better don't do it or you're all going to...
Yeah.
So.
That's it.
But to this dating rule, there's also a 3-year rule thing where, like, after you debut and it's been 3 years, usually the companies take away the dating ban and are okay and are very lenient unless they don't cause any problems like this pregnancy stuff and stuff. Yeah, so
but
only
a lot of these rules are very general, I'd say, because there are so many different kinds of companies. They don't really put out like a post saying no dating, no this in our company. It's just something fans come across and they're like, okay, JYP doesn't allow this, SM allows this. It's just something that the fans have thought up, which might be true, might not be true. So this is very general, I'd say, the no dating ban. We don't know which companies actually secretly allow it and which companies outright banned it.
Yeah, we actually don't know which companies actually allowing it, but of course the company won't say it allowed.
Yeah.
But the fans they have. But that's what Gracie told, so that's information for me as well.
Yeah.
Rule number 4 is no junk food.
No junk food is just K-pop was more concerned with the appearance of each idol, so appearance matters a lot there. They should be perfect, they should both in character as well as in appearance. So yeah, obviously junk foods make our health worse and it will make us fat or etc. So I don't think this rule is much cruel or something like that.
But it's like not no junk food, it's like no food at all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I do agree. And well, since we are talking about no junk food, I do remember the soloist IU was talking about her diet in an article.
Yeah.
And it just shocked every fan. Do you remember that article?
I know. It's like an apple in the morning.
2 sweet potatoes in the afternoon and just a half protein shake in night for a month, I think. She was taking for a month.
I'm like, what is with this lean body, white skin and all? But even though it is now commonized or something, but the girls go through a lot of restrictions to their weight. If they gain even 2 pounds in their regular weight check, that's done for them. They are
and
like,
even they have been punished for all these things.
Yeah. And the boys have to gain weight or something.
Yeah.
What happened to twice Momo, I guess.
Yeah. Twice. Yeah, she said that she only eats
8 ice cubes for a week, actually, before her debut.
Yeah. I mean, that's too cruel as to see.
No, when I think of it, I was thinking, how did she survive just consuming ice cubes for a week?
Yeah.
I can't even think of it.
You have anything to say to that, Subi? You've been...
Yeah, I don't... I personally like eating ice cubes, but at the end of the day, it's just water. So she basically survived on cold water.
On cold water. Actually.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. She must have had, I guess, tablets, supplements. There must have been something. I don't think a normal human being can just survive on water.
No, she was told to lose 2 kgs, 3 kgs, I don't know, in 1 month. So she had no other way. So she... went to an extreme.
But I do think that just by consuming ice cubes, can people survive?
I don't know, maybe.
No, I can't even survive without a meal, actually.
You should have this challenge, people.
Just exclude me, okay?
Okay, going on to the rule number 5. Always have to be in contact with your manager. And should pick up their calls whenever they call you.
I can maybe talk about it, but I think this is very general. to be in contact with their manager because they literally manage everything that the idols do, from what they eat.
A perfect parent type.
Yeah, basically. So they're paid to do this job. So if something happens to their idol, this manager is gone. He's not going to get another manager job probably.
Yeah.
And I've seen so many times when the manager gets separated from the idols in like airports or something. And they do have potentials of being kidnapped. Like, fans are so crazy. Do you remember the incident when BTS was kidnapped?
No, that was a prank, right? No?
Yeah, something like that. But even if
really
it's
happened.
Not a prank, I heard, I'm not sure, like some... I think some girl like in high society pranked them, like kidnapped them just because she was a fan, I guess. She then they eventually did let them go without any harm, but still that's totally not okay.
Yeah.
So I think something happened because she was part of the higher class. Mm-hmm. But I guess it's good to be with their manager just to keep everyone informed. And especially when it's a group, imagine 17 and you have like 13 members just going around everywhere and you don't know who is where. Yeah.
Then what about NTT, the small village? I'm really pity on NCT's manager. I don't know how
they take care of all the members.
They
must have multiple managers. I don't think they're surviving on one. SM has many managers. So I think they get managed somehow.
I think more than idols, they are hiring managers.
Must be, dude.
See, I think that managers are someone who help you out and who keeps you safe. Unless you want to go beyond your manager and go beyond your company and go have fun, like other people, it becomes a problem not only for you, but also the company and the manager who is set to assist you.
So, even these days, the managers are so friendly, right? So I don't think they are like just more than a manager. They are like a family.
Yeah. So if you have a good relationship with your manager, I think that is fine. But if you're going to be mischievous, that is going to cause a lot of problems. So I think this school is quite okay. Like, it is good to have a manager to have you have beside you. I'm forgetting all the English I've learned anyway. Now, rule number 6. No going out. Yeah.
So this rule is literally connected with no dating and no talking with the opposite sex. So So yeah, if the trainees or idols, not idols, but the trainees. So when they start to go out, they might get distracted or they cannot be at the right time for practicing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the entertainment is a bit concerned with that. But when it comes to solo artists, I think they literally feel lonely because the solo artists don't have any roommates or something, so they have to stay alone in their room. So at first it may be okay for them, but when the time goes on, they really will feel so lonely. So I think it will be okay for the bands, but I don't feel it's okay for solo.
I mean, if you're going to be a artist, you should always talk to your manager.
Yeah, because... But we can't assure that every manager will be friendly with a soloist or a group member.
Anyways, what I think is that you have a rigorous practice day and you have to practice all day and dance all day. And like they'll be like going out and meeting people is okay, but it's only gonna work.
Yeah, that even they'll become so tired, so they might skip the other practice day.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to consider all these stuffs, right?
They are just conscious of your health and like they just want you to go home and take rest. So that is not bad. It's not like you can't even go out at all. Just like,
it's like when we go through each and every rule in depth, it will be like it will be associated with each other's health, something like that.
Yeah.
But when we see from the outside, we will literally start to judge each and every rule. Like, this is not fair, that is not fair.
Hmm.
So it's like whatever the rule is, we have to analyze first, know in depth, like what acts from the scratch, so that we can understand why the rule is actually.
It is also like, how far are they taking this role to the idols? Like, are they enforcing it on them, or are they lenient on them?
I mean, come on, when they become trainees, they kind of know what they're getting into, so they can't complain later because they want to be idols. This is what they have to go through. If they just want to be singers or dancers or artists, then they do have a platform to do that. YouTube is there. You can literally become so big if you just had talent. But they want to become idols. They want to belong to a company. They want to train. They want to have other crewmates. They want to become a group, like a nationwide group. Then this is some things that they have to face.
Yeah. You want it, hun, you have to face all that. So,
I think the rookies and the trainees these days are more free when compared to the second and first generation idols.
But they do have much more competition now. There's so many debuts, so many groups.
If there are currently 400 groups in Korea alone.
I can't assure that I know all the 400 actually.
A handful of them. But we don't know the rest at all. So it is very hard for the
But many groups are never debuted too. It's like they never have done any shows or something. They have just formed and that's it.
I guess it's very small companies that have just the funds to make one music video and they just hope to God that they get famous. But then if that doesn't work out, they're like, okay, you have to disband. There's nothing we can do.
But the trainees who go through that much of training for so long, like, just shattering their dreams and all that thing.
Wow. But I do saw on a video, actually, I think 2019 or something. I just saw a few videos where the kids are trained. Like they were, if a kid is good in dancing or good at singing, they personally train only at that skill. Like rather than forcing them to study or something. If that kid is specifically good at dancing, then they are just concentrating on dancing alone. It's like in our country now, we'll be like, do this, do that. We know all skills, but we don't completely know.
Bro, in our country, it's all about the studies, bro. Don't
exactly. No, every time when I used to see South Korea, right, it'd be like, wow, see, they only consider the skills. But here, they don't ever see our skill, actually.
It's all about making money for them. It is also, they also make the children to train a lot because they want benefit from their children.
Most of the people's dream would be becoming an idol. It's like, whoever we are, they'll be like, I want to become an idol. It's like a nation's dream there.
Yeah.
So I think
everybody just goes on for audition. Is available there for them only. And only a quite actually succeed. Now, let's move on, girls. Now, rule number 7, no social media.
No social media. You can like count articles as to why idols shouldn't be on social media by themselves. But like other than their official like Instagram IDs or something, they do have their personal accounts. Like they keep it in secret where they have just their family and friends, of course. But that also somehow the fans get so stalkerish, they find out the patterns of how they talk or what kind of pictures they put
with these people. I don't know, man,
it's so scary. Like even if they have a personal account, imagine they'll probably not try to talk about everything in that personal account because they're like, what if one day someone just hacks into their account? I mean, come on, it's so easy these days. I mean, your friend's account got hacked, man. Like imagine like a couple of people working on clashing Momo's account. That would be insane. So yeah, so I think it is okay, but as a social media user, I'd say it's also good for that mental health. Social media isn't in a very good space right now.
Yeah, true.
Because you start comparing yourself with other people. So I think this is one very good point for them, because social media isn't really a need. It's not necessary
for them.
Your company takes care of it. If you're concerned about advertising yourself and publishing yourself, I mean, your company takes care of all that. So you don't need to worry about it. So I think this is like the least harshest rule.
Yeah, even if you have a social media account, like they can get permission from their management.
It
is not a big deal, and coming on social media is not that great. Like, there are some people who don't like you and just promote and not liking you, and there are won't even talk about you, and you're all
You start having a lot of self-doubt, I guess.
So
it's not really good for the idols. They already have so many issues that they're working out. This will just add up to their issues. So
that's really true. So it's a go for this rule.
Yeah, I do agree with Subhiksha's point, because we have seen a lot of artists committing suicide, right? Because of art comments are negative. Making them not using social media is actually good for them, so that they don't know what people are talking about them, whether it is good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be peaceful. They can peacefully work at their own companies.
Mm-hmm.
So I do agree. Yeah, no social media is a good rule, actually.
They won't need social media if they have a fun group with them. So even
definitely is.
Solo artists, they are like, they are very close with their managers to an extent. They are very friendly. So social media, like, even for common people like us, it is very depressing sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I do.
And because we have a purpose to have social media, because we want to be creators, we want people to like what we're posting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have different intentions. For them, it won't be like that. They just want to post a selfie because they had a fun day, but fans are going to take it so crazy. They're going to be like, why is she not wearing enough makeup? Or why is she just chilling while her members
I guess
are...
it's all because they are so concerned about the appearance, beauty, and all.
Yeah, it all what just matters is back.
Why are you not me wearing makeup, and why are you wearing too much makeup?
Exactly. Like,
anything you do,
they don't need these judgmental comments. Honestly.
Yeah. As ordinary people, we get hates and comments. Just imagine unpopular and being thrown shit at your face every time you go on. It's like too much for them to handle. So, really good for them. And next, rule number 8. No touching your hairstyle. I mean, this includes like no cutting, no dyeing your own hair, like without approval from the thing.
I don't know why I'm laughing after seeing this rule. Honestly, I don't know. But still, it's like, for granted, for most people, normally what they do with their appearance is their own business. But when it comes to K-pop stars, their appearance is their management business. Because the managers decide what hairstyle they have to be in a debut or anything. So what comes up is, if that person soloist or an ideal decides to cut her or his hair, it might affect the next day show or something like that.
Yeah.
So, because what they want is a perfect appearance. The hair color, the hairstyle, it should be apt with the dress, the performance they are going to do, everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, but though it feels so funny, this rule is a bit funny, but maybe the idols must be feel so stressful because of it. Because they'll be like, why can't I even have right on my own hair?
Yeah. It's like... As fans, we wouldn't even think like there's a change on her hair or she did something to her. We won't even guess that. But these companies take it like too much. Like, into even concentrating on your
hair.
Even
you can see a lot of idols now, they keep on changing the hair colors for every interview, every fan meet, and even in every musical video.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't think it's necessary, but since appearance matters, everything matters to it. From their color of the hair, from their dress color, the shoe they're gonna wear, everything.
But currently, I don't think so. The idols like care about it I mean, right now they dress as like as they want to. They cut their hair even though their managements say not.
Yeah, to. I think before the rules started to be a bit okay now than compared to first and second generation. Actually, these rules were so crucial and so cruel only for first and second generation when we think of that. Mm-hmm. Like idols nowadays, they do experience some kind of enjoyment and the rules are a bit lenient.
Yeah, you can have your own style and all that.
Yes. Mm. Maybe not completely, but to an extent.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but by rules are lenient, we're not saying that the Korean standards are lenient. We're only saying the companies are getting
company
lenient.
Are lenient.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
the judgmentals are keeping on going and
standards are never lenient. Not yeah. Nowhere in the world the standards are always strict.
Yeah.
But like in the previous years, these contracts were actually for a 10-year period. But now it's only 5 years or 7 years, I guess.
7 years. Yeah. Maybe
in future,
yeah.
It might get reduced to, we don't know, right?
I don't know, but those 10 years contract periods were actually called as slave period. That is, I mean, the rules were really, really strict and like you get punished for everything you do. I really pity the 90s and 2000s idols.
You don't know what they went through and the amount of frustration they had to go through in that.
Mm-hmm. I think the rules we are discussing now was exactly apt for the first and second generation idols actually.
Yeah, actually not now, but there are some, yeah. These rules are there, but they are quite lenient. Lenient in sense you are there, they don't like be by your neck 24/7. They're like,
but I do feel there is one particular rule that I personally feel that why is this rule still in existence? That have you seen in a lot of stage performances and also in fan events, the mm-hmm. female idols would be so uncomfortable because of their costume actually.
Dressing, I
feel like it's just a bit crucial, right? Like everything matters there. And these days, even now, third and fourth generation female idols also face those issues, right? We can also see every video when we
keep. This is something that has to go on the stylists, no? Like, the companies hire these amazing stylists and they can't even give them, like, protection covering inside. Or they don't get the correct size, so it kind of slips up. I think
that's what I'm saying. That's what the entertainment should take care of. They're
but
like, okay.
More of a problem to the girls than the boys. Like, boys, like, they don't have that much.
Yeah, boys but have a like a clothes man, like, malfunction. I don't think people are going to care.
There's one stuff is still in existence, whether it is in first K-pop or second generation or third or fourth. This one uncomfortable situation is happening to each and every female idols and solo idols.
Yeah, I've seen like 2000s music videos and like what dress is she wearing? Is she wearing a dress? I mean, given the standards that you keep in your country and you clothe your idol in that way, I mean, but this dressing has improved a lot to where the idols are now. At least they have a little bit of covering there, I guess.
I guess in future it might be better than now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have anything to say to that, Subi? Or we can move on?
No comments. We can move on.
Okay. Rule number 9. No part-time job at all. When you're a trainee
at
or...
I mean, when you're a trainee, no part-time jobs makes sense. Like, because they're training... like the whole day. But I guess the harsh story behind it is because they build up so much debt for the companies when they're in the trainee periods. They kind of want to pay it back. They are students at that stage. Mm-hmm. So they are going to universities or schools. And well, the parents, if they can't afford to, they don't want to lose their dreams. So they kind of want a part-time job, which is very common in Korea, I guess. And it's also very safe.
Yeah.
I think it would be a good opportunity if this was allowed in the trainee period, because after debut they can't do all that. It's just not possible, so they can only do it in the trainee era. But it is sad that they can't go out and do their jobs, but they also kind of need to focus on what they're actually being loaned for. Mm-hmm. If they get distracted, they're the ones that are going to have to take the blame. It's going to be extra stress for them. So I think if someone wants to be a trainee or an idol, it's just at the end of the day, the parents' like job to make sure they can provide for it.
Yeah, true. Actually, like being a high school student and like being a trainee at that period, you have to highly depend on your parents for allowances. Mm-hmm. And even though I'm 20 and now, I still have to ask my parents for money, and that actually sucks to us. Like, I can't even go for a part-time job to get money for myself, right? And and for them, already depending on their parents, and the parents have to like take the burden of even paying the fee for their trainee periods. It is like too much for these.
But honestly, in our culture, I think it shouldn't be tagged as a burden, because we don't like usually how they do in the US. The kids kind of move out as soon as they get into college, and then they have to pay out their college loans, which I think is very insane. Like, your parents should be able to support you till you are able to support yourself. So I don't, like, you can't even say that this is a burden. It is the parents' job to provide for your children. And if you think you can't provide...
The point that I'm saying is that every time you, I mean, it's that you have to ask your parents for money every time you have a need. So that is like, when the need is small, I have to ask my parents for money. So that is kind of, I don't know, I feel bad to ask them for the money, even though I am 20 years old.
Yeah, even I feel bad, but we're at a stage where we're learning, right? We're like 20, 21, we're still learning how to make money. I don't think we should be going out like trying to be adults so early in age. Like, we have so many things to learn, and this shouldn't be one of our burdens, and it shouldn't be one of the trainees' burdens as well.
Yeah, if people can afford it, they can afford, but to talk about the families who can't afford it, is that's where the problem lies.
It's like double burden, because they have to pay for school as well as the trainee period. So
it depends on the family situation.
Exactly.
Depending on that, the companies, like, they actually...
But we can't assure that each and every trainee would be okay with their family background now.
I don't know.
No, what I'm saying is, we can't assure that the trainees who are going to debut in future, their situations are okay at the starting, like from the scratch.
Yeah.
If they are from a rich family, then it's okay. They can afford their money. But what if the trainee who is aiming to become an idol in future, what if your parents are farmers or something like that?
That is where, like, in those kind of cases, like, the companies give permission for them depending on the situation. But mostly the companies, like... advise not to, because it's going to be too much of stress for them given the practice they have to take and all the workouts they have to do.
Actually, this kind of rule has both benefit as well as disadvantage. We think from the side of idols, it's right, because they should not get distracted from their training, etc. Mm-hmm. But when you think in the point of their parents' view, it would be like a burden. So we can't say it's wrong or it's exactly right or completely wrong.
It depends on each of them, I guess, because some people, they like join the companies very fresh, like very young, without not much talent, but they just want to do it, and they join in as a trainee, and it takes them like maybe 5-6 years to train. But then there are other members who are like street picked, like in SM, I guess Giselle from Espa was picked 3 months or 4 months before the debut, which when I heard it, I was like, that's insane.
Yeah.
Like, how much training would she be able to go in 3 to 4 months? But still, she was able to debut in one of the top bands right now.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. So it all depends on the individual and like how much talent they have to offer for like different kinds of companies and which company suits them. If they don't get into the top ones, they're probably gonna have a much harder time in the trainee years as well as debut in like the smaller companies.
Yeah, true. Now that brings us to the last rule, 10th rule. You must bow and respect your elders. 90 degree bow. 90 degree? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roshni.
So, yeah. So, normally in many countries, being a star means that you can indulge in the kind of gross and shady behavior. But mm-hmm. when it comes to a star from Korea, you have to be respectful all the time.
Yeah.
Respect matters there. The after appearance, respect is the second most thing noted by the Koreans.
Yeah.
So yeah, as you said, they must greet their elders and bow at a 90 degree angle. And they agree that only that kind of respect is proper.
Yeah. There's a lot of bowing in Korean culture. Like you have to do the perfect bow.
Even Grace has recounts a time when she bowed with her hands in her winter coat pocket because it was so cold. Later, mm-hmm. she was scolded for being disrespectful just because she kept her hands inside the coat's pocket.
Yeah. I mean, being respectful is a big deal in Korea, and if you do something wrong mm-hmm. and this could end up in a very bad situation. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But yeah. I think this is a good rule. I mean, it's best to teach the idols or just people in general.
Yeah, actually, sometimes I do feel all these rules are normally the stuff we do in our home, right? Like yeah. no cell phones or no going out. Exactly what our parents used to say us. Hmm. No outing with your friends.
And
like,
this is kind of there in a lot of industries, but like social media and YouTubers make it seem like this is some harsh truth of K-pop.
Yeah, I don't. That's because K-pop is now at the top, right?
Yeah, it's getting so much views and it's getting the limelight, and people are like, "Oh, let's kind of."
But one thing that is worse, yeah, though the rules are normal, that one thing is their past experiences.
True. I mean, this is not only for K-pop idols or models in South Korea. It is like everywhere around the world. Everywhere mm-hmm. you have certain rules, and the rules could either be very bad or very good for you. So,
is
like,
it because everyone are more aware about K-pop, we are successful actually.
Yeah. These kind of rules are everywhere, people. Like, it's not only K-pop idols. It is like every artist who's under a company goes through these kind of rules.
Yeah, but what like irks me is that when they talk about these rules, they kind of bash the companies. They're like, oh, YG doesn't let people do this, they don't do that. But honestly, at the end of the day, it depends on the fans. If someone can date from a company without mm-hmm. any fan problem, the company is not going to have an issue with it. Why would they have an issue with it?
That's why
companies keep these rules only because the fans create such a ruckus.
Yeah, true.
So always the fans are at fault. Come on, like, there's no point going back to the companies or
and
even
especially
the Koreans,
when it comes to the past life of any actors or idols. Mm-hmm. They used to say, when I was in my school days, this actor or this idol bullied me. So yeah. I'm going to post this in the social media. So again, the fans starting the issue. So
exactly.
What that entertainment will do. So,
I mean, coming out for like bullying and all that, I respect that. It has to be taken care of. But like always going on to the company for everything that is happening around is something. Like, if you can manage it, you go ahead and manage the company with so many idols through in there. It is not
exactly.
a easy job to maintain all those young people and keep them safe from the people and the social media. It is really a big task. So these kind of rules are just there to keep them safe from all the hate that they could get and all the losses that the company could get. Yeah. There are like certain cases, like even a small this dispatch thing, right? You know,
oh
this
my God.
even if an idol is seen with another idol, it it blows up in the
No, we will conclude it as they are dating. That's it. Full stop. They are dating. That's it.
Yeah, even for the Kai and Jenny one, you can't even see their faces. They're like, oh, she has a small waist. Oh, that looks like Kai's hairstyle from his new song. This is them. That's what they said. And I was like, are you mad?
It's just like, you just ramble, you just spread hate and go. But after the company has to face and the downfall and their losses they have to face and all their shareholders, it is too much, right?
I guess it's all because of the Tae Sung
fan, yeah. Actually, Tae Sung fans influence normal fans as well.
Yeah, that's very cool.
It is like, if you keep your idols and respect them for who they are, you won't be this. I mean, I can't say crazy.
You can say what you want.
Yeah.
One thing I just wanted to say about the entertainment is, though the soloist or any K-pop idol facing negative comments from the fans, why don't they at least protect them from those issues? I don't know why the entertainment stay remind all the time.
I mean, they do, I guess. JYP takes it very seriously. He puts cases on...
That's the one entertainment. I'm just talking about most of them. When there are a lot of entertainment out there, just one entertainment taking care of idols is not a big one, right?
I think it costs a lot to take these kind of actions. It takes a lot of time and money. Plus, JYP handles it in a very calm way. He doesn't get into rumors. The thing with other, like YG, even for Kai and Jenny, they were like, yeah, they're dating. But SM was like, no, they're not dating. So people were really confused. They were like, who is saying the truth? But in the end, they broke up. Yes. I'm like, so what did happen? What exactly is going on? So it's like companies, if they have a rumor, obviously they're getting fame from it. So YG was like, okay, Blackpink is getting fame, I'm gonna leave this be. But SM has way too many shareholders, I guess, and they have a lot of partners, and they're like, no, this is
because it's one of the topmost entertainment in South Korea.
Exactly, and EXO dating someone, it's gonna be such a huge deal. YG is very chilled. I don't think their members would go through the no dating. Like, you guys are like gonna be disbanded if you start dating.
I think the most hated entertainment is SM for now. I think so. When I read the articles on the Instagram post and all.
Yeah, they hate most companies for different reasons. They hate JYP for ignoring smaller artists sometimes. They hate SM for not giving enough comebacks. They hate YG for...
At the end, every entertainment is getting hated just because of any one reason.
Exactly. So I can't even deal with it.
It's not that the companies don't want to deal with it. The companies try to deal with it in a silent way and in a peaceful way. So they try ways to solve the problem peacefully and not go all publicly and stuff.
If we are taking too much of time, sometimes we lost our favorite idols or soloists, right?
It is on the other party that is struggling to make a negotiation. So even though the company focuses on the negotiation...
I personally wanting each and every entertainment at least to give a mental support education to each and every idol just to withstand the negative comments. Instead of taking any negative decisions, I just want, because that is more needed these days.
You can't go around and suing everybody who's putting a negative comment. That has become something very common nowadays. So they just ignore all the bad
stuff. It's like a fashion in South Korea, like hate speech and negative comments and all has become like a fashion there.
I don't think so. It's only in South Korea. It's everywhere.
No, it's everywhere. But what I'm saying is, since K-pop is popular these days and it's getting popular day by day, we are just seeking to it. We are just sticking to K-pop. Like, this is that. We are not going beyond K-pop, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True. So, this brings us to the end of the rules. Yay!
Yay. So, finally, we are at the end.
This girly was an interesting session. I am so thankful to both of you, wonderful ladies on my podcast. Thank you so much for calling us.
Thank you for thinking of us.
It's okay. It's my pleasure. Okay. Do check them out. Do check Subiksha out for her dance covers. Do check out Roshni for her future K-Wave projects. This brings us to the end of this episode of Everything K-Pop with me and K-Pop Industry Part 5. Feed Subiksha, Priyal and Roshini. See you in the next episode, guys. Bye.